You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for a brand new series on the podcast. We're going to be covering our favorite urban legends. So I picked one out tonight. Joshua is going to be on as many of these as I can get him on. And tonight we have a super awesome special guest. It's Stephanie Strange. The gang is back together. Hey, Stephanie, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh my God, I'm glad to be here. Glad to see you guys again.
And Joshua, I am so happy that I was able to pull you away from the coffee dungeon to come on the podcast. I know you are super busy these days. How have you been?
I'm good, but I always have time for the good old Real Hauntings crew. So I can't say that for everybody, but I can say that for here. So I'm glad to be back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we are going to be covering, honestly, it is my favorite urban legend. It's Bloody Mary. I was haunted as a child from this story, and we'll get into that later. Although I do apologize to the audience if I seem slightly out of it tonight. I just had a colonoscopy today, and I don't know if anybody listening has had that. I assume some have. The procedure itself, no big deal. Propofol, you're out. Like, you don't even know anything happened. I woke up and I was just like, hey, when are we starting? And they're all like, ha, 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 you silly goose, we've been done for 20 minutes. But the prep for a colonoscopy is every bit as bad as they say. I won't get into the detail, but I mean, I went to the bathroom like 40 plus times. I guess I am getting into the detail. So feeling a little wonky, but happy that that's over with. I got a clean bill of health, just having some stomach stuff I need to get checked out. But that's my overshare. Do you guys, Joshua, you into Bloody Mary, colonoscopies? What's your interest tonight?
I don't think I'm into much of either, to be honest. less of the colonoscopy, though. I'm not looking forward to my first or hopefully my last. But Bloody Mary, yeah. That was one that is very interesting to me. It's actually one that I stayed away from my entire childhood and adulthood. Like, there's just something about this specific urban legend that always spooked me to the point where I never wanted to go into the bathroom, like a dark place with any mirrors, speak her name so her powers can flow through me. I am not a fan, but we're here. So,
and Stephanie, how do you feel about these urban legends where it's like you repeat names into a mirror and then they come after you? Like, another big one for me was the original Candyman movie. When I saw that, completely freaked me out. And Bloody Mary was kind of on that same level.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I've covered Bloody Mary on BuzzFeed. So I learned a lot about Bloody Mary at the time that I was like, whoa, I'd even know that. Like, apparently there's like Bloody Mary origins even in Japan. Mm-hmm. But I have if you want, I can share one of the stories that caught my attention with it. Yeah. But I think it's a fascinating urban legend. It is scary. I was definitely a scaredy cat as a kid. So whenever the kids in the bathroom or at like sleepovers or anything like that would play the game, I'm like, peace out, I'm leaving. You guys can get slaughtered. I don't know, I'm gonna go, bye. not my jam. But yeah, I can share the story. So the one that really caught my attention and it made me think about like the what ifs of this. So apparently this person was like 9 years old. they ended up playing the game. And I think that on the same night, they lost their tooth and they did the ritual in the bathroom, went to bed. They were on the second floor and they heard like footsteps like outside of their hallway and up the stairs. And when they went out to check who was out there, they realized that their parents were sleeping. So then they go back to bed and they turn over like facing the wall and something like grabbed them. Like there was like a handprint on them or something like that. And so like they felt like that was real, like they might have conjured up Bloody Mary. But like that's the question though, like were they staring at the mirror for a very long time? Because I know that when you stare at a mirror for like 10 minutes, like scientifically proven, you do hallucinate. So yeah,
which is wild. I wasn't aware of that. I read that when I was doing a little deep dive on Bloody Mary. I didn't know that you could do low light and mirrors and hallucinate. It's so crazy how the brain tries to connect all these dots for us. And you know, the article I was reading was talking about facial recognition, which when we think about that, or at least when I do, I think of AI and cameras, Big Brother, things like that. But I mean, our brains are kind of a computer. So it's kind of cool in a way that it does work on its own to do that. But it's also really scary how darkness impacts our brain and how it will try to put things together, whether it's sounds or sight. And that can really mess with you. I mean, in the day, we're just people trying to live our lives. Like, who needs a Bloody Mary in the mirror? And I don't know if you guys saw this, but I didn't realize that the old myth or legend, like going way back when, was that people would try to see like who they were going to marry in the mirror. And so it could give them like either good news or bad news, whereas like they could see their future spouse or they could see the Grim Reaper. And that meant that they were going to die before they met their spouse. Like, what a crazy urban legend.
Yeah.
I know. What I was going to add to that too is like, I've been to Mystic Dylan's shop. If you ever have a chance to go, they own a shop in Santa Clarita and they have like black mirrors in their tarot card reading room. And for me, it always just like, I know that they're used for a purpose, but in general, like mirrors are scary. And like, especially when you have a black mirror, I look at the black mirror, I'm like, is something going to pop out of here? Or what? But yeah, no, it's fascinating that like our brain wants to come up with something in these mirrors. And like, even I'll take it a step further. When I did the tour at the Cave of the Winds in Colorado, like they talked about also being in complete darkness. So like there's, you know, on one hand, are these people hallucinating because they're staring at the mirror for a long time, or are they in such low light? But I feel like you have to be in complete darkness to hallucinate or something like that. But regardless, like some of these, like the story with this person, it's like, I don't think they were in the mirror for, or staring at the mirror for that long to like enough to conjure up something even in their bedroom. And it sounds to me like they weren't in complete darkness, but who knows? So it's just really fascinating. Like, some of the stories, and I know like on the skeptical side, it's like, well, were they in the darkness or staring at something? But I don't think most people really stay there because they're scared. It's like you say how many times and you leave, you run out of there. That's like the whole fun of it, you know?
Absolutely. And the description of what some people have seen throughout time is really scary too. I mean, a woman literally covered in blood, you know, like a half face covered in blood. There was a lot of like yin and yang kind of stuff to the stories, which I thought was fun. I honestly just like, what was told to me as a child is if you say this lady's name, really bad stuff's going to happen to you. Nobody ever told me, hey, something good might happen too. You know, there was my friend's older sister, the same house where I touched that ghost or whatever. She would bring in a, what do you call those like balls that you touch and electricity meets your finger?
Oh,
yeah. I remember those. Wow. That's
like a plasma ball or like what?
Yeah, I think it's a plasma. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
So we would literally be like, so he had two twin beds and they were on like the far side of the room, like one to the left, one to the right. So she was probably 6 years older than us. And she would come into the room, like when we were already trying to sleep, plug in that thing, sit it in the middle of the room and start chanting Bloody Mary. And it was just like this really creepy vibe. And she would get to, what is it, 13 or whatever. And she, if I say it one more time, you're both going to die tonight because she's coming to be here. And I was an impressionable child. Like that kind of stuff really had an effect on me. And the way she would just taunt us with it and hold over her head. But so that really always had an effect on me. And I would sometimes at their house, because that house seemed really haunted, had an elevator in it that would turn on in the middle of the night and just really creepy stuff. I would stare in their mirrors at night and be like, is she here? Where's Bloody Mary? Like, not kidding at all. Ugh. Joshua, have you ever seen Candyman? Or like, have you ever, I know you say you kind of stay away from this stuff, but did it ever, like, was it ever a part of your life? Any of these kind of urban legends?
Oh yeah, I watch Candyman all the time. It's this specific one that always unsettled me. Like, I just, something about it, like the thought of conjuring up things. So I would say for my family, Candyman was probably bigger. And so my cousins and like my brothers and stuff would go into the bathroom and they'd do the whole thing and nothing ever really happened, but it's just the thought. For one, mirrors are always unsettled me already as is. I've never liked mirrors. That's been a thing since I was a child. I don't know what it is about mirrors. I don't like looking at them. And I don't like having them like above my bed, around my bed or anything. I'm very particular about that.
You sure you don't like having them above your bed?
Yes.
Have you guys ever been somewhere and they have one? We stayed in a hotel one time and there was a mirror above the bed. We were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I do not like that. do not like. I'd be like, can I get a new room? Or like, yeah, that's I just don't like mirrors around me. So like, add the element of mirrors plus like conjuring something. That always freaked me out to the point where I was never the child who was like, let me explore this a little bit more. But yeah, that's my really long way of saying it was mostly Candyman, as opposed to any type of Mary, anything.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Well, that Candyman movie was like pretty brutal.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, if it's been a minute since I've seen it, but he like killed children, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So I could understand that. I remember distinctly watching it at a friend's house as a teenager, and there being like 14 of us piled in. Somebody had gotten the VHS, you know, and we all went to watch it. Yeah, I'm old, guys. I'm in my late 30s. But it's when spooky was spooky. Wow, that sounded really curmudgeon-y. So Stephanie, you have covered, as you mentioned, on BuzzFeed and you know, just on your own social media and the different companies you've done creative work for, you have really covered a lot of supernatural lore. Where do you kind of rank Bloody Mary and as far of these types of lore that could potentially be real? Like, do you think there's any truth to people being able to conjure a spirit in front of a mirror or just by like chanting a name or something of that nature?
Well, to kind of backpedal a little bit with the Candyman, I saw the new one and that was
supposed
really
to be
good.
Really good. Yeah,
it's
I enjoyed
fantastic.
It
mm-hmm. I gotta watch it.
It's really good. So if you haven't seen it, you guys are missing out. And also just like a side note, because you guys know Blair, mm-hmm. if you watch the original, like the Candyman, like the one that you're talking about, the main female character looks just like Blair. Like literally go back. It's like a doppelganger. I told Blair that. I said, Blair, you look like the actress from like Candyman. She goes, oh yeah, I've been told that. So please go back.
Oh, I have to check that out. I didn't know that. Wow.
So anyway, but no, I think Bloody Mary, I feel like there is some truth to the urban legend in terms of mirrors are definitely a tool that's used within witchcraft. It's used for scrying. It's used for, you know, when people talk about hauntings, people have reportedly seen spirits in mirrors, like the Myrtle's Plantation. There's that infamous mirror that you can take a picture of. There's so many, like we've heard time and time again of mirrors being haunted, people seeing things in mirrors. Now, granted, I'm sure people can say that don't believe in that stuff. It's, you know, they're staring at a mirror for 10 minutes, but honestly, like, let's be real. Like, even for me, I do my makeup in front of a mirror. I'm not looking at the mirror the whole time. I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, you know, I'm focusing on different things. I'm listening to music. I'm doing my hair. But I'm not like directly staring at the mirror for that long because I'm moving around and multitasking, right? So like, who's just sitting there like deadpan, like 10 minutes? You know, who's doing that? Who is doing that? Like for 10 minutes? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And unless like maybe there might be going something wrong, like not wrong, but like maybe their mind or I don't know, is a little bit more fragile. I don't know like how I want to word that, but like, I don't think people are most of the time just staring at a mirror for 10 minutes. You know, there's also like a lot of things with mirrors and how you're not supposed to have them in your bedroom, which is like a big bad thing. Like my parents always told me, don't have mirrors in your bedroom. So we never did. This house that we have now, the previous owner had a mirror in the master bedroom bathroom or whatever. And so like when I go to bed, I do see it and I hate it. But my mom put like a beaded rosemary across on it. So like it's just a big no-no. You're not supposed to do that. And I think I saw like a black and white film of like how this guy was a painter and he would put blankets over his mirrors. It's like a Victorian feel to it. I don't remember the name of the film, but it's like a silent film. So it's always been a thought of like, just you don't have mirrors exposed in your bedroom. So for me, it's like, it's so interesting how time and time again, there's something with mirrors. And I also think that like, you know how people use like divination tools for the wrong intentions? I think that if you're also, I feel like a mirror can be used as a divination tool. So if people are trying to conjure up something, they might be able to do that. Like if you're going into it thinking Bloody Mary is fake and maybe having certain intentions with it, I could see people conjuring up something that wants to be like, okay, here, I'll show you something. Ha, boo. You know what I mean?
And I'll add to that too. So I did a couple of videos on like superstitions, and one of them, well, actually not even one of them, a few of them have to do with mirrors, especially when people are like passing away and things of that nature. And covering mirrors when people are passing away is a really big tradition in Jewish culture. Because they also have their own specific beliefs around mirrors and souls and spirits and getting trapped in mirrors and things like that. So mirrors do play a pretty big role when it comes to urban legends and just superstitions and the supernatural in general. And I think you said something that's pretty powerful. I think it all comes to like intention setting too. Anything you place your intentions on, I'm of the belief that thought forms are very real. And mm-hmm. the more energy you put into something, I mean, if we're all energy and you put energy into something, things can take that energy and use it and yada, yada. So I think in turn, people can end up conjuring something for real in maybe more unique or rare instances using a mirror as a divination tool with the thoughts of creating something and with the intentions. Because if you go down creepypastas, there's so many entities that have taken on the form of those stories that were in some cases completely made up. And right. now people across the world see this very specific entity all the time. And I think
kind of
that,
like Slender Man, one of those.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I thought this was really interesting. So, you know, they list online like the various potential Bloody Marys throughout history that it could be based on. There was one in specifically that really creeped me out. So it's Elizabeth Bathory, a 17th century Hungarian countess who allegedly tortured and killed around 660 girls and women, bathed in their blood, and was accused of vampirism. Like, if anybody stirred up the curse, that sounds like a pretty good one.
Yeah, no, and I've also read about like this, like, was it like Bloody Mary Mary the First, who mm-hmm. also killed 300 people to hold power over England.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
that one. There's also like, I didn't look further into this, but I remember reading this when I did my like research a while ago about like how it also believed to be from an urban legend of a girl who was found dead at mm-hmm. Woodpine Elementary in Pennsylvania or something like that.
Huh.
So like I think that's the hard thing about pinpointing where Bloody Mary came from, because I feel like every like country or different urban legend around the world has like, because Mary is a common name,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like, so, and there's probably going to be a tragedy with that, right? So for me, I feel like it's so many different stories all bottled up. But the one that I find super interesting is the one in Japan. It's called Hanako, and it's an anime, which my friends were obsessed with. So I feel like I have to cover this because I just always thought this was very comedic to some degree. So it's called Hanako-san, and apparently it's like a spirit that haunts the toilet of the bathroom. It's like a Bloody Mary. Yeah, so I'll read it from the wiki for now.
Well, but after my colonoscopy, I'm surprised I didn't conjure it last night. Okay, last joke.
Well, you know, I don't know. So apparently this stemmed from like World War II. It's again, the manga series is called Toilet Bound Hanako Kun. My friends were obsessed with this show. They did cosplay of it. So it's so funny that it's like a Bloody Mary type. Like, I didn't ever would even think of that. But so apparently it says that it is of World War II era. A girl was killed while playing hide and go seek in an air raid, and she was murdered by a parent or a stranger, and she committed suicide. So there's different variations of the story, or she died due to bullying, but she dies in a toilet, school's toilet bathroom. So she haunts like a school toilet.
Oh my
but
gosh.
You can conjure up that type of Bloody Mary. So it's just,
it's like that Harry Potter character moaning murder
yes.
lives in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh,
yeah.
That'd be a rough place to have to haunt. I just send me to like the afterlife. Don't leave me in a toilet.
Not the bathroom.
No, that's awful. Yeah, that it is always like super interesting when these urban legends, myths, lores, whatever you want to call them, are in so many different societies at so many different times. It does kind of make you wonder like what's going on there. Speaking of that, Joshua, I'm going to put the pressure on you. 0 to 10, 0, Bloody Mary is a figment of everybody's imagination. 10, we could conjure her right now on the podcast. Where do you fall on that scale?
I'm probably a 7 or 8, to be honest. Ooh. I'd say I'm actually closer. I'm a strong 8, not a flimsy 8, a pretty like hardcore, like tight jean wearing 8.
Don't even know what that means. Stephanie, I'll ask you the same question. Where are you on that scale?
I think I'm around like, yeah, like an 8 or a 9, because like, here's the thing. I think that people can conjure up things so badly if they believe in it. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know whether I think it's always Bloody Mary, maybe not, right? Because I think at this point, Bloody Mary can be so many different things. And I think Candyman is a great example of that, of like people can have their own fear of the boogeyman. And if you really try to conjure it up, it might just get your attention, you know, you might have his attention and it might come after you if you really believe in it that bad and try to conjure it up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I want to say like, oh, I'm a 5, but here's the facts. I will not go into my bathroom right now and say Bloody Mary 13 times. I won't say it 2 times.
Yeah.
So with that being the case, I have to say that I'm like an 8 or a 9 as well, because I would be lying. If I didn't believe in it, I would just go and do it and go to bed and that'd be that. But I'm not going to do that. And listeners, if you did it tonight after listening to this, write in. Let us know. Did you see her? Did you guys chat? Could you get a selfie? Or was it just complete baloney? Baloney? People don't say that. Was it fake? I don't know.
Well, and you know what I forgot? I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to find the name of it. But this was a trend in 2020, the mirror trend, where people, it wasn't like Bloody Mary necessarily, but it was like, I forgot who started it, but somebody was like, if you look in the mirror, you'll conjure up something or whatever. Because it was like a viral video of somebody like hallucinating because they looked in the mirror for that long. So people started doing it. And then witch talk got involved. So like, I feel like this
I remember this.
What's the name of the trend? I'm trying to find it. But if you guys also, I mean, if anyone's listening and they know what we're talking about, let us know, because I would love to be reminded of what this trend was. But people were reportedly having all kinds of experiences. So I still think that like Bloody Mary comes up time and time again, just maybe as a Candyman or a trend on TikTok, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we did it, guys. I think that's Bloody Mary audience. Again, I think urban legends are so fun. I really want you guys to write in with your thoughts and opinions on these, and we'll revisit them on the next episode, because as urban legends, a lot of people have either experienced it or tried to experience it. I was telling Stephanie before we jumped on the recording how much I loved the movie Urban Legends when I was younger, and how that kind of piqued my interest in even the supernatural and stuff, because it was very like much a hot topic back then, where people would say like, oh, if somebody's riding down the road with the lights off on the car, don't flash your lights at them or they might come get you, or you know, all that stuff was just like so much of pop culture back then for whatever reason. So I'm real excited for this series. Joshua, thank you so much for jumping on and doing these. I can't wait to do more with you. And Stephanie, same to you. Stephanie, do you have anything you want to promote before we jump off?
Oh gosh, I'm still working on that TV show, you guys, so whenever it comes out we had to push back the date. So I don't know if any, I mean, I don't know, honestly, it's, I feel like it's very niche specific, but so I'm a guest for Mysteries Decoded. They're filming the latest season right now. We had to do a pushback on the date. I'm hoping to do a live when that happens. We'll see. But if you haven't checked out the show, you should, because you might remember some familiar faces. I know that Patty Negri, that's how you say her last name, has been on it. Sapphire has been on it. So like they've had multiple guests from like the paranormal community on it, which is really cool. So worth checking out if you guys are interested in that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Joshua, anything you want to promote before we wrap up?
Go to my coffee shop at Opelika. It's called The Coffee Shop. We're in historic downtown Opelika. I'm working with AO.com's vintage page, doing history stories on underrepresented minority communities and just stories that aren't told widely. And yeah, I'll start back making videos sometime between now and December.
Awesome.
Yay.
Well, yeah. Fans, make sure you go and support the people that support us. We love Stephanie and Joshua. So make sure you go support all their projects and businesses. It's not just a project. Joshua has a coffee. He has a coffee shop, which is really cool. And as far as Real Hauntings go, we would love if you could go to Spotify, give us a 5-star rating. That would be awesome. And check out our new website. It's realhauntingspodcast.com. We're going to be putting these urban legend episodes out probably every other week. Every week kind of just depends on everybody's schedule. So stay tuned. Look forward to that. And we appreciate all the awesome support you guys gave us in the cryptid series that Joshua was kind enough to host for us. I continue to hear praise about that series. So yeah, that's really it. And Joshua, I will let you wrap it up for us.
Thank you, Stephanie, for joining us as always. It's always a great time to have you. And you're also so knowledgeable that it's really good to just be able to sit back and listen sometimes. And thank you, Noah, for having us. And until then, we're going to be going through urban legends, and who knows which urban legend we might cover next. Stay tuned.
Every every 5 minutes, a transplant candidate dies while waiting for a compatible heart, liver, or kidney. Imagine a technology that could provide those life-saving transplant organs for a high price, and imagine what a company would do to monopolize that technology. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists unlocks this holy grail of medicine by reverse engineering the genomes of all mammals, creating an animal with organs perfectly suitable for human transplantation. They envisioned a docile herd animal, but one team member had another, darker vision. This ancestor is anything but docile. The team's work spawns something big, something evil, something very, very hungry. Ancestor is a complete serialized fiction podcast by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler, with all episodes available. Binge the entire story now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.